seat, quit. Okay, we're up to chapter 13, verse 3, okay? And it says, if you guard your mouth, you're guarding your soul. Well, it says his. It's third person. If he guards his mouth, he guards his soul. If somebody opens his lips, that will break him. Okay, so the questions are, what is guarding your mouth? What is the, when it says nefesh, the word nefesh, what does it mean by nefesh? What's the meaning of that? And why, if you open your mouth, you'll be destroyed, okay, or you'll be broken? Those are the questions. Now, in the word nefesh, the Meiri has two possibilities. He has the nigla, or the open, the plain interpretation of the verse, and then he has what he calls nister, which is a hidden interpretation of the verse. So we will take both interpretations, but we'll take the nigla, the more open, more to the surface of the more surface interpretation. So he says, according to the nigla, according to the surface interpretation, the word nefesh means body, the person himself. If that's true, then we'll interpret, that's all he says. So we'll interpret this according to the Ralbag. The Ralbag says that you have to guard what you say. You have to be careful what you say, because there's things that you could say that could totally destroy you. In other words, where you open the second half of the verse, where you open your mouth, means that you say whatever comes to your mind. In other words, you just speak how you feel. You just keep speaking. So therefore, you could say a lot of incorrect things. You could hurt a person, so you can make an enemy, which is always dangerous. You could give wrong information, and people make decisions on the wrong information. Anything that comes to your mouth, you never know what you're going to say, because you don't think about it. So the thing is that the so therefore the first, that's this, all this what I'm saying is basically the Ralbag, okay? So the Ralbag says that you need some type of sensor, some type of control, that you should stop the mind, should stop the stop you from talking when you're going to say the wrong thing, okay? And that will guard your body, that you'll have the protection that what we said against the harm of talking too much, okay? So we asked the question, how could a person just stop and censor his, I mean, you can't, you're just talking. How could you would get confused, you become paralyzed if you watched every word you said, and you have to be careful of what you're saying. If you start thinking about it, so then what would happen would be you become paralyzed. You couldn't operate. So the question is, when it says you should guard your mouth, the question is, how do you guard your mouth? That was the question. The answer is, there was a person that was interviewed on TV that he used to do tricks on the wings of a plane. So the interviewer asks him, you know, things could go wrong. So he says, I think of everything that could go wrong and what to do with it. Then I spend hours practicing how to get out of it so it becomes second nature. So the interviewer asked them, What happens if you run into a situation that you didn't think of? He says, since I thought about and worked out all the other ways of doing it, I automatically know what to do in that situation. It's like a training, a way of thinking that I automatically know what to do. Same thing here. You need a certain training that you awaken your sensor. And that is that you study all you talk about and analyze all the situations that you shouldn't talk. And you discuss that. That becomes the subject itself. And every time you review it and see it clearly, that affects how you think. Then after a while, you will naturally, the sensor will stop when it comes to one of these situations, and the sensor will stop you. The word that the Ralbag uses is shtika. In other words, be quiet. So we're just inserting the word sensor here, that you have to have a sensor. That sensor needs training, and once you have the training, then naturally it'll awaken at that moment when you're about to say the thing that is wrong, or you're in a situation where you know you can't say, that is when the sensor is awakened. But that takes a discussion again and again and again on dealing with all the situations that can go wrong, that you could say something wrong, and so therefore you need that training. But you can't stop yourself at every moment. That would be, you would paralyze yourself. That would be impossible to think about it for every second. Now we'd like to discuss the second interpretation of the Meiri, which he calls Nister, the hidden interpretation. And the hidden interpretation, he says, Nefesh is the mind. Is the mind, okay? So therefore, when you read the Pasuk now, when you guard your mouth, you're guarding your mind. And when you open your lips, you're destroying your mind. You're breaking your mind. That is what the verse is saying, according to the Nister. So, of course, the question is, what are you guarding in your mind, okay? And what is Shomer? Shomer is guarding the mind. There's two different terms for guarding here. One is Notzeh and one is Shomer. How do you guard your mind? That's the question. How do you guard your mind, okay? Guarding your mind in Mishlei, what he means is that you make it second nature, so that it becomes part of you when you think that way. That is guarding. That, and then it's guarded because that won't change, because it's part of your very nature. So once it becomes part of your nature, that is what King Solomon means by guarding. Okay? So the thing is when you do this, how do you guard your mind? How are you guarding your mind when you protect your mouth? How is that a training of the mind that it becomes second nature? That's the question. What we want to say is that if you have a sensor, that means that there's something stopping you. Okay? And if it's stopping you, there is only one part of the human being that stops himself from doing things, and that is his superego or his conscience. Okay? The job of the superego is to say, no, don't do this. That's the job of the superego. So the thing is that when you go over the ideas again and again and again, like we said in the first interpretation, You talk about the idea of the area that you shouldn't talk, you see? And so what then happens as you go over it, you get a sensor. The sensor attaches to the superego, so the superego becomes a tool of the mind. In other words, usually the superego makes you feel guilty in areas that from childhood on, whatever the way you were raised, you feel guilty and the or shame, whatever emotion comes up from the superego. So it awakens, it stops you. So therefore, it's like controlling you. But over here, what you're doing is training the superego to become a tool and help you in your thinking. That is the idea of the, that's the idea that a person should train his mind, whereas emotion should be aligned with his ideas. So therefore, this is a particular example of how you can get the emotion in line with your talking so that you get the superego in line with your logic so that it becomes a tool of your logic. On the other hand, if you allow your emotions just to talk, so then if you open your mouth, then you'll be destroyed both by either you'll stop yourself in the areas that you should talk because of the way you were trained, or you'll talk in areas that you shouldn't talk, which means that comes from the id or the desire of pleasure. So the thing is that the unconscious is in control of your mouth, of what you talk, of how you speak. The unconscious is in total control. But if you train the superego, then the superego becomes a tool of the of the mind, and it'll help you have a better life. Now the thing is, that's why he calls it Nister. It's hidden because it deals with the inner part of the human being. The Nigla deals with the physical world, how you deal with the physical world, and the Nister deals with the part of the inner person. The question that we're asking is, we want the superego to be a tool of the mind in all areas. Why does King Solomon just talk about the mouth? Why does he just talk about this one particular area? Okay? What I want to say is that he might talk about another aspect of the superego in another pasuk, he might. But he wrote Proverbs that he deals with very particular subjects. Because to affect the mind, to affect the emotions, you have to deal with the particulars. Just knowing the universal, like the whole book of Mishlei, is really based on one statement in Pirkei Avos, the Ethics of the Fathers, and that is, Ezo Chacham Aroaz Anolad, who's a wise person who sees the future. By seeing the future means seeing the consequences of your actions. So that's all. That's all you have to say. But he takes very, very particular cases, and because it's not only the training of the mind, it's the training of the emotions. And when you're dealing with the emotions, you have to deal with one particular aspect at a time. I remember years ago when I first gave up smoking, and we discovered that there's different, the smoking is not just one desire. It's many desires. There's the after meal cigarette. There's the social cigarette. And if you break that during the week, then suddenly Shabbos night, Saturday night, suddenly you get a new desire that suddenly it's awakened again because you didn't break the Motzoi Shabbos cigarette. And what killed me, I remember what broke me, is I thought I had it broken, you know? And then I went on vacation.
Yeah.
That's like months later. I thought I had it made. And suddenly the desire comes in. I said, oh, I want more. So I have it made. That was the end. So the thing is that you have to know that when you're dealing with the emotions and you're trying to change the emotions, it's not one big universal, but it's every aspect of where it shows up. You have to deal with that particular aspect of the emotion. So therefore, when King Solomon wrote his book, he wrote it with very particular. That's why he wrote Proverbs. So you take one point at a time and straighten that out. Then you deal with that part. Then you have to deal with another aspect of the, in this case, the superego. Okay.